The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
Welcome to Your Making It Worse. We're here, we're queer, who cares? I'm Elliot Glazer.
And I'm Brent Sullivan.
And I'm H. Allen Scott. Textual healing.
Allen had his birthday party this week, and it was on Thursday. We had a wonderful time. It was one of the best parties I've ever been to because he had a whole spread of Chipotle, which you got to make your own burrito. And I was almost in tears. I look forward to it literally all day. Yeah. And you also, of course, had a spread of Can, our favorite. Our favorite THC-infused beverage.
People loved it. I mean, we had a bunch of queens over, literally and figuratively, drinking the Can beverages. And it was fun.
Yeah.
I've been bringing them everywhere. Every party I go to, I bring some Can and people really enjoy it. And I know that sounds like an ad, but they are our sponsor.
It really isn't.
They genuinely fucking love it.
Yeah. 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 I know. I'm always like a little proud. I'm like, yeah, they're good, right? They're good.
Well, it's nice to be able to turn people onto something who are like, well, I don't just want beer.
And two of the people that we turned on with this drink, which the three of us all know, my good family friends, Colleen and Marty. They're great.
Right.
They're a little bit older, and I'm not going to say the age, but they're up there in the senior moments. And they came over, and they had never had a canned beverage before. And they were a little leery at first. They were like, what is this canned beverage?
Apprehensive.
So they split one. They split one of the tiny cans. They drank it. They had so much fun. They split another one.
Yes.
They were sitting by the pool, feeling themselves, talking about, I don't know what they were talking about. You guys talked to them more than I did. I was very busy.
For a little while. We had a great chat. But so that's a good example of how Can is good for anyone aged 21 to 91.
Well, they're not 91, but yes.
I'm just saying, it's like, you know, when board games are like ages 3 to 103, they don't mean 104 is excluded. They mean anyone.
Well, 104, you should be dead.
But I know, Allen, you wanted to talk a little bit about.
So one of the things that what I love about sort of cannabis and the sort of legalization of cannabis. And we had that episode a couple of weeks ago where we had Paul Scott on, who he was a big leader in the legalization of cannabis. But when that movement sort of started, a lot of sort of celebrity companies started in the wake of legalization in various states. And one of the first celebrities to have a cannabis company, which is, to me, like, this is more in Elliot and I's sort of lane.
I was gonna say, I did not know of this.
Whoopi Goldberg had basically a vagina cream, a cannabis vagina cream.
For cramps.
And it's a very popular thing. I mean, the using sort of creams and stuff, cannabis-infused creams. I mean, Meryl Streep talked about it on the Colbert Show using foot cream, like cannabis foot cream stuff too. So
For it's a popular cramps?
Thing.
For
but,
menstrual
but Whoopi
cramps.
Had it for menstrual cramps. Yeah, which I was surprised that Whoopi still had menstrual cramps.
That's
when she
great,
was promoting this product.
Great point.
But so Whoopi had a sort of a cannabis company. I don't think she was the first celebrity to have it, but she had it, and it's watching the interview. So they even did a whole segment on The View about.
Yeah, but they couldn't fully explain
exactly
what was happening, which was hilarious, dancing around the fact that it was THC infused, and Whoopi's like, it's great for, you know, for women's health. Like, it's just, it was so funny.
That is so, and I don't know why, I just find it's such a funny image to me to imagine, like, just take, like, I guess putting a cream on your vagina for some reason, like, is a funny image to me. And also the feeling said, cream.
You also, it also sounds like you said vagina, which I fucking love. Vagina. Oh,
it's so funny you say that, because I was thinking over the weekend how when I was a kid, I called it a vagina. Did you call it that?
No, that you just did. You just did.
I think I just called it a vagina, but.
There are creams for, like, there are vaginal creams.
Oh, yeah, I don't know why. Yeah, yeah. I don't know why.
But that, I have like, this mental image me. Of like yeah. Whoopi sitting there taking a big swoop of the cannabis vagina cream,
right.
And just like rubbing it on like it's lube, and her just sort of like literally like legs spread, just being relaxed now.
Right.
I mean, eating so some Doritos or something, having the munchies.
Yeah. There's a clip of her at a press doing press for a Tyler Perry movie.
Yeah.
And she's sitting there with Amber Riley from Glee,
yeah,
and Whoopi's like trying to explain the brand, you know, and even the reporter says like, she says like, you know, for the thing that you make that with, let's say, Mary Jane, you know, and Whoopi's yeah. like talks to Amber Riley, she's like, they didn't have this, they had something like this in the 60s, but it's for cramps, for your vagina, it's, and Amber Riley's like,
it is surprising though, I will say, in that video it was surprising that like there aren't many products for women.
It's crazy.
For, yes. I mean, like there have been two invented in like the past 100 years. It's wild.
She just said that the last one was made in 1963, which is insane. Yeah.
And the one before that was like 18 something.
Oh. Wow. Yeah. I had a crazy one recently. I mean, this is a little bit of a tangent, but like I told a doctor I have 12 drinks a week, and he's like, that's fine. That's like a perfectly normal amount that I drink 12 a week. And then I told a female friend of mine about that. And she was like, oh, I drink less than you. And I've had doctors tell me that's too much. And I was like, why would that be? And she's like, oh, doctors are like less accepting of women drinking.
They're less accepting of women doing anything. Doctors
anything,
are
anything.
So we're going to talk about that a little bit in the last segment. Just to save it, we're giving a little bit of a spoiler for the final segment.
I'm but it's foreshadowing, true. Alan.
But no. there are, since Whoopi, a lot of celebrity cannabis companies coming out, which is kind
of
like
Seth Rogen has one, which is a pretty popular thing. Snoop has one.
Yeah. Of course.
Melissa Etheridge has one. I did not know.
Melissa Etheridge is right up your alley. Away. I mean, she's begging for people to come to her window now. Like she come to my window, buy some ganja.
Jim Belushi has one.
Yeah.
Jim Belushi.
I was blown away by Jaleel White, Urkel, having one.
Yeah.
Oh, Urkel. Yeah. Doesn't he have a big dick or something?
Does he?
I thought I heard.
I mean, I'm fully here for Urkel dick.
I'm sure even if Urkel didn't, Stefan did.
Not even joking.
We're here with Freckle.
Wait. Our guest just did the joke that Brent does every episode to Elliot without knowing probably that Brent does this every fucking episode.
That's funny. Hello, Freckle.
Hi.
How are you? It's you.
Oh, I'm good. I'm just coming off a farm. I was up on a farm up in Portland.
Nice.
Singing to cows, baby cows, and holding chickens. And
now, wait, what brought you to the farm?
Yeah, what brought you to Portland?
My dear, dear friend of many, many years, Reed Ewing. He, you guys might remember him as the boyfriend on Modern Family.
Mm-hmm.
He bought a farm in Portland and has these animals, and I said I have to be there. Somebody has got to sing to the cow, and so I went up, and we write together. We make art. We make music.
You know, Portland has the most strip clubs of any city in the United States.
That's right.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
And the gay strip clubs we went to called Silverado.
Ooh.
And they had karaoke and strippers and they are
did they beautiful. Have karaoke stripping though?
Good question.
Well, one of the here's where I fucked up, and this is a lesson for everyone. Mm-hmm. There was a stripper, and he had like curly hair, and he was doing the moves, and he was cute and great, and I had gotten ones because I got 20 out, got ones, and I gave them to my buddies. Were a little more shy than I am, let's say. And so I was like, here are your ones, you have to tip the strippers, you know, that's how it goes, they need it,
right?
And so I had the ones, and then I had another 20, and there was lap dances, but it was behind a silk curtain.
Yeah.
Okay. Or like you could see the silhouette of the people. And I was I don't want to do that. That's too much. I don't want, like my boner is going to poke someone's eye out. Mm-hmm. You know, I just not today.
I really can't imagine. I mean, I just can't imagine the joy of a lap dance. I feel
it's so fun. I love it so much.
The joy—it feels joyless to me. The idea of like somebody being forced to dance for money.
So ironic to hear from Elliot, but yeah,
it's so hot. I love it. You give money, and I want the full-on like. Please make me feel so uncomfortable. I want to be uncomfortable.
Yeah. Oh,
right. God.
Yeah.
I get it. I just don't want to be watched while experiencing it.
Exactly. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think. Yeah.
That would make me uncomfortable. Or two, what I never understood in going into it, and I mean this even with like straight strip clubs, because there's tons in like LA. I'm in Silver Lake right now. I'm like, what do you do with your boner? Like, I don't get it. Like, so you get a boner, because that's what it's about, right? You get aroused. And then what do you do?
You just like, hope you're not wearing tight jeans.
Let me ask you this. What would one always get, especially for straight guys, would one get a boner and just like obviously figure out somewhere to put it, you know, tuck it up, whatever it is? Mm-hmm. Or is it the kind of thing where they're allowed to rub themselves through their pants? More importantly, I guess, how weird is it that your friends
are watching
gay,
you get
straight,
a
whatever,
boner,
are watching you get a boner in your jeans. I don't understand it.
I don't understand that either. That's lost on me. Now, if the general collect, and the fact that there's no real answer to it also gets me, like, if it was known that you go in this room, you get a boner, and then you come. Or you jack off or whatever.
Sure, sure.
Like, okay, fine. That's what it is.
Right.
I'm just like, what is a lap dance?
You get the worst blue balls.
Why are we so upset about our friends seeing our boners? I want to see all my friends.
Oh, I don't want you to see my boner.
If I go to a sex party or something, it's like I'm gonna run into a friend, or if I go with friends, you know, I'm gonna see them doing things.
Do you go
it's
to like, a lot of sex parties?
A great
I mean,
question.
Not a lot, you know what I mean? But like the ones that I have gone to,
I've
been
friends,
and like I've seen friends, you know, you see friends, you know what I mean?
Wait,
like it's a moment.
Freckle, what were your sex party experiences like?
Well, I mean, I imagine that you guys know who I am because of Caleb Gallo, the show from 20 years ago.
Brian Jordan Alvarez's YouTube show. That was
I know you from American Idol.
Brian Jordan is a very sex positive person. And I think he talks about having been a go-go dancer. And, you know, he was like, you know, Freckle, you really need to like experience things. And like, who's going to say no? First of all, I'm not into sex parties. Like, it's not my style, but I'm not going to say no, because I'm not going to say no to anything.
Right.
You know,
right.
I want to experience it all.
So the first
time I went, I like kept my clothes on, cause I was like, oh my God, I can't, I got nervous. I got shy.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, I fucked that. And it's like, if you don't take the clothes off right away, you're like,
well,
then
well now
gone.
I can't
as well just keep them on. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I was in that gray.
You're Melissa McCarthy in every movie. Yeah. Yeah.
Totally. And then another time we went down to San Diego. Oh, I'm probably revealing too much information at this like nice house with a pool and stuff. And I was like, I'm doing it. And I think I like had a few shots and I was just like, bam. And you know what? It made me feel good. It made me, I looked in the mirror. I was like, I felt like a rock star. I was like, I am sexy. Yeah. So I'm very grateful for that. I'm grateful that Brian brought me to a sex party, but, yeah, what was the thing about us? But I didn't know anybody. I didn't know anybody.
Brian
and I are like brothers.
I mean, though. Like, you go with a friend, like, you know, you wouldn't necessarily be in, like, at a strip club, too. Like, you wouldn't necessarily be embarrassed by them seeing a massive boner in your pants while you get a lap dance. Like, it's like, even though you don't necessarily
want them
watching.
Well, I just wonder about the other people. Like, a sex party, you're already at the level of, like, you're in someone's house.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I feel like you might as well be at Target, a strip club or Target, you know, like, and you
I've
have a boner. Like,
yeah, you're in public.
Very,
Yeah, I don't know. Well, Alan was mentioning before that, obviously, yes, that you sort of, you were in Caleb Gallo, which had a huge following.
And
you were sort
people.
Of meme. Yeah. Oh, yes. Very clear.
Still does.
Show. Yeah. You got memed from that show, right? Memed or gift or both?
I did. I didn't really know what gifts or memes were, really, because I'm, you know, a space cadet, I guess. The line I wrote, sometimes things that are expensive or worse, was made into a meme. Mm. And then memes go viral, I guess, because people share memes. but also memes become viral because people fill in the, they make them their own.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just, a, it's
so
a,
it became this thing is... where it was like, sometimes God, straight men are worse or something. Right. It's just like,
right. Totally changes the content of the words, but yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But you yeah. Said, which was cool. And I think it has, the original one has to have an impact for it to get to that point. Mm-hmm. I think. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. The whole, I mean, the art, the world and the life and the shelf life of a meme is a its own like subject worth studying in like academia, mm-hmm. because it's so totally. It's a recent thing, but it also, you know, it represents the idea of like democratized art that gets repurposed and repurposed and repurposed and recontextualized, and the more it gets pixelated, you know, the more
it
gets pixelated,
it's a sharing thing, yeah, a reposting thing,
yeah, it's pretty,
which means it's affecting culture. So yes. It is effective as an art. Like, yes. I think you're absolutely right.
Look at the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills woman with the cat. Like that meme, that picture is so sort of like ubiquitous with like the internet and being angry at something. And mm-hmm. it's just, it's
what's the Beverly Hills
that one?
The
yeah.
The one with, what's her name from the first season? Taylor.
Taylor?
Yeah. And she's like yelling in the picture. I mean, it's a big one. It's a big one.
I know first that one so well.
Yeah.
Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Oh, okay, and it's that became a meme.
Taylor Armstrong, you've seen the meme where somebody's
definitely seen
pulling
it.
Her and she's screaming and like pointing. I don't even know it's about a cat. I never saw yeah. that episode, but she's screaming and it just became the most popular meme to you know, to
reaction meme, to like respond or to add to something else or to mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. It just became this thing. And it's so, I mean, even like on The Housewives, they're talking about it. Like they're talking about Taylor becoming meme celebrity because of that picture. Mm-hmm.
Right, right. And that's just a weird notion, like internet. So in Portland, I went to this like DJ event at the park and somebody was like, are you Freckle? And I'm like, well, yes, I'm not Freckle. And they're like, and somebody, oh no. So that happens, which is always weird. Are you Freckle? It's like, yes. But somebody was like, oh, aren't you that internet celebrity? And it's like, how do you say yes to that? Because if you right. say yes, you sound cocky. Right. If you say no, you're a liar. You
know? Right.
So I was like, and I like completely fumbled. I was like, I like theater.
It works.
And I thought about it later. And I was with my friend who's usually, we had a very Valerie cherished kind of situation, because usually for so many of our early 20s, he was the one getting, you know, talked to on the street because he was the boyfriend of Modern Family. And then now we go anywhere and I'm the one that gets people come up and they're like, oh, Freckle? Which
does
is
any, does anybody remember you
see.
From does anybody remember you from your American Idol? I guess that was, I would say that was not a viral.
I don't know. Do you remember me
viral?
From
of course, of course I remember.
Oh. Well, wow, yeah, I incredible... think people see it all together and they're like, what is happening? That was really fun. And remember, I punked American Idol because I was really into Ashton yeah. Kutcher's prank reality show, Punked.
Yeah.
And I liked Candid Camera because it's like, if I was going to sing, I would have sang Mary Had a Little Lamb, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mary had a little lamb. Just a little there for the viewers, the listeners at home. But I sang I Touch Myself right. as a joke.
I don't want anybody else. When I think about you, I touch myself. Oh, yeah. I honestly do.
I
do.
I believe you.
I really do.
I believe you.
Is she talking to a puppy or?
Okay, stay there. Let's go.
I believe you.
So let's judge him down there since we. Yeah, okay, so Sam, what do you think?
She got me on my knees.
And I knew you'd get there eventually. Jason, if you're comfortable down there, I'm cool with
it. Can you come down and join me?
No.
Please?
Right, Jason, now, as much as I would love to spend a lot of time going through this, we're just going to go straight...
Do you
want to
spend a lot of time on
no.
Oh, my God!
They just keep
Do not
coming.
Hit
they
on
just,
my friend!
I'm sorry.
Jason,
they just keep coming.
Jason, right, we're going to...
All right.
We're going to vote. Right. Randy, yes or no?
No.
No.
Cara?
No, honey.
Katie?
I feel
dirty.
Whoa. I knew it. Katie, you make me feel dirty.
I know.
I've seen those music videos.
It takes a lot for me to feel dirty. It takes a lot for me to feel dirty.
I'm sure it does.
Say no.
Especially with that top.
Whoa.
You can't get these.
Okay, Jason, we're just going to say no, but that was very
It was funny, though. It was entertaining.
See you later.
Bye, Jason.
You made an impression.
Yes.
Very nice.
And it's hard to make girls feel dirty.
I know.
Really?
It's not hard for me. Whoa. But the point is, I'll see you next year.
Got it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Whoa.
Spunk,
got
spunk,
it.
Spunk, spunk.
Three snaps in a Z formation.
Yeah. Jason, just go around there, and Ryan will be waiting.
Nice. I think he liked you.
That was uncomfortable.
I was going to say.
And their reaction was so homophobic. And then the reaction on YouTube with all the comments being like, if I saw this person in the street, I'd sock him. Gay, yeah. Fag. And it's like, isn't that like calling the kettle black? Like, I had no idea. Because I'm from LA. So, and I went to an arts high school in LA. Like, what I was doing, you know, I went to high school, like, Haim and stuff. And like, what we were doing was like normal for us to go like Goodwill thrift store, vintage shopping, like. So I didn't know what Middle America was, and I didn't know that Middle America like worships the hand that feeds them kind of thing. Like people like respect American Idol. I didn't know that. So like, I didn't know that it was going to have a weird, I thought everybody would be in on the fact that I'm like,
you didn't think it would be as subversive as it was?
Dorky thing. Mm. No, I did not think it was going to be as subversive as it was. That daunt. I mean, yes and no. I had also gone to a very like exquisite, like, art high school in LA doing Suzuki Viewpoints, which comes out of the postmodern dance world, uses kinesthetic response and spatial relationship. And I was doing Alexander Technique, and a lot of like very avant-garde theater, like real avant-garde theater. And I was a teenager being put in adult shows. So that was in my consciousness already.
Yeah.
And then it was just and then my senior year, I won the Emerging Young Artist Award. So I won this like $20,000 scholarship. And I was like, I don't want to go to university. I want to do what Marilyn Monroe and James Dean did. I want to study the method. So I did Meisner and Michael Chekhov technique. And I did the whole Groundlings program. And I did more Alexander and more Suzuki Viewpoints. But I don't know. It's hard to tell. Yeah. I feel a little bit, not to talk your ear off, I do feel like sometimes my art is just like shedding.
Yeah. Cause it's, I mean, that moment was like, and going back and watching it, it's like, oh, by like, it to me, obviously to me, it feels subversive, but when you watch it, it's like, God, the joke too. I thought it was more
but
subversive
not
than
on Freckles'
on
part,
purpose.
On the judge's part. I mean, there's this like,
so homophobic.
The exchange you're having with even Katy Perry.
I'm at my friend's house right now, and it was during pandemic, so it was like a low key little like not party, like gathering, right? Mm-hmm, and some people came over, and they had never seen it, and I was like, ugh, I hate, like, I'm not going to put on my work and make everyone sit down and watch it, but you know, I'm not going to stop anybody if they do. Somebody else does it. So when they do, it's like, oh, and literally, I don't know what it was, but something about even just the pandemic, and we're like queer people, it was like, the homophobia screamed loudly. Yes. That in a way that I didn't even.
It was Katy Perry's comment of, you can't have these, or you wish you could have these. And she was like referring to her breasts. And it was a strange.
Oh, right.
It was a strange back and forth that was just very uncomfortable. And you handled it so, so well. But I think it also harkens to like.
Thank you.
It harkens to like sort of this early aughts trope of sort of like that. Being
gay panic.
It was.
It just was to me when I looked back, and it's kind of what fueled me to be like a performance artist. I looked back and I was like, if they were like, oh, hun, you're off key. Oh, babe, your pitch is, or you know what? That's not a good song. Mm-hmm. Fine.
Yeah.
But the whole reaction was the fact that I was a confident gay man at the time on national television that no one had ever seen before. Because if you look at Will and Grace, those are pedantic. They're kind of subservient. The idea of a gay person was a hairdresser or a wedding planner. You never saw, let alone young, you didn't see a young, confident Axl Rose, you know.
Yeah.
You know, gay, just being like, hey, what's up?
Well, and also it also helped. It got me thinking about, like, because there was a show at the time, like, you were visibly, at least in the terms of early aughts, a young gay man. But like, it did hearken to sort of this gender fluidity conversation, even especially with Katie's comment and how you've kind of evolved since then within sort of like being very gender fluid and sort of really doing what you want and defining yourself. And has it been like over the years since that moment, and as you've sort of like, you know, discovered more about yourself, has it been hard to like get roles, or like, what is it like for you in Hollywood doing what you do, being who you are?
Well, there were a few questions in there.
I'm good at that. I'm really good at that.
So I want to address them specifically. As far as it being hard for me as a person, my identity and I've always felt like my gender is kind of punk rock, and that I'm like, I don't give a fuck what you think about me. You know, I don't have a preferred pronoun. I go back and forth. I'm like, whatever comes out of your mouth, it's fine. I use it for a while because I'm it and everybody else is who. So I, you know, and then I heard that like calling people it was problematic in the 70s. And I was like, oh God, you can't win in this town, you know? So I was like, okay, maybe I'll drop that. But then I was like, well, can I reclaim it? You know, isn't that a thing? So there was that. I'm half Mexican, so I look very white, but I grew up in East LA with a predominantly Hispanic community family. And I'm 18% Native American, according to 23andMe. But and in the Native American tradition, there is Two-Spirit, and they were the storytellers and the medicine people and the healers. And I'm like, everything I do is storytelling, healing, and, you know, channeling the dark or light arts, you know, witchcraft into reality. I like to say painting dreams into reality. So I also am lucky to live in literally LA, Silver Lake. Like I don't find it hard. Mm-hmm. Now, Hollywood was a whole different thing. And so that's kind of why when we made the show, we made Freckle have a role the size of any other person would have had. Even though it is kind of like a smaller, I think less of me is always better personally, artistically, but, you know, Freckle is up there with the other characters. And it wasn't the butt of the joke was their gender or something, even though there was like nip slip and there were some nods to it, but there were other things that could happen. And so in my reality, I was like, since I have a theater background, I was like, and especially in like theater background sounds like community theater or something, or musicals. I never did musicals. Mm-hmm. I refused mainly because I was like, probably some internalized homophobia. Maybe I was like, I don't want to do that. That's what the gays do.
Right.
I was like, I want to be in Arthur Miller plays and Tennessee Williams, you know, and I want to be a serious actor. And then they put me in the comedies. So, and I always, now I say I'm not a comedian. I'm a tragedy actress. It's everybody else who thinks I'm funny. That being said, Freckle had this space in the show, and I was like, well, that makes sense, because as an avant-garde theater maker, artist, I have to make the art I want to see in this world. It's not going to come from Hollywood.
Yeah.
You know, I was sick and tired of auditioning for the wedding planner or the hairstyle. So I was like, that's gross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's pedantic and... pedantic. And I just don't like it. So I was like, so I always knew, I was like, whatever I do is going to be like, it's going to be like a John Waters indie film. It's going to be a rock band that I make like Nirvana in my garage. Like it's whatever I'm going to do is going to take off. I always knew that since day one.
Yeah.
And I think that whatever I continue to do will take off, like the EP that I'm releasing at the end of the month.
Oh, there you go.
And my single called Don't
Is
Hold
It Called
Back.
Pedantic?
Pedantic.
Pedantic.
Doesn't that sound like a line of adult underwear?
It does. It does.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Do you want to plug that? Do you want to plug the EP?
It's called Don't Hold Back. It's coming out. It was produced by Dash Hutton. He was the Himes drummer forever. He's the son of Hutton. We recorded in Hutton Studios. Are you familiar with Three Dog Night in Laurel Canyon? Yes. It's got a real cool 70s vibe. Don't hold back. Honey, there's not enough time. Yeah, well, I'll save it. So, you know, I always was like, if I'm going to do me, or if I'm going to work and I'm going to make my art in this world, it's going to be on my terms. Hollywood is so tacky to me. I'm watching the comeback, the first season again, marveling at how meta and brilliant it is. It was 2005, because I kept telling my friend, oh, it was 10 years ago.
It was 16 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're using like Razor. That. They're not even using Blackberries. They're using like flip phones.
Yeah. And I'm like, It just goes to show that, like, we, the peep, the where media is in the mainstream gaze, G-A-Z, is so.
Yeah.
But it's weird to me that it's so backwards, because I'm like, but then in the 60s and 70s, we had John Waters, we had Cassavetes, we had the Ramones, we had, there's so many cool things throughout history that have been edgy. And but I guess what you learn in television, which I learned the hard and long way, is that there's this development hell. Yeah. And by the time it gets, you know, metastasized and butchered and chopped and shaped and morphed, it's lost neutered. Any remnants. Yeah. Neutered. Yeah. That's good.
And it's sort of like this dance of sort of like, what are you willing to give up? What aren't you willing to give up? What can you concede in terms of the development process? Like, it's definitely a dance to how to stay true to yourself.
Yeah. So I think, like, because I'm classically trained, having gone to this arts high school, winning that award, doing Meisner, doing all these things, if I wanted to shave my head and get a six pack, I think that as an actor, I had the ability to do a lot of things, certainly, like a true chameleon, not to toot my own horn. But I just felt more called that whatever genetic makeup, hormonal makeup of this kind of freak that I am, it felt more important for me to let my freak flag wave. Sorry. I'm choking, not crying. if that makes sense, and I can elaborate, but it made more sense for me to do freckle to the fullest. And so then, you know, Brian and I were puttering around town hanging out, and it just worked. You know, a lot of freckle stuff in the show was my apartment. That was wore my silk kimonos. That was my makeup style. That was, I had been doing freckle on stage for 10 years, at like Akbar, you know? So
I used to see Brian running around Los Feliz in jean shorts, actually jogging in jean shorts.
Yeah, because he lived on Vermont.
Yeah, and I thought that was one of the most ridiculous things to do ever. I supported his journey, but I thought he was an idiot for doing that. Chafing alone is just like horrible to do that. Yeah.
Well, oh my God. He is a gym bunny. Yeah, he likes to exercise, and he is a sober person. So I feel like when you're sober, you have a lot of like,
you got to get it out.
Yeah, you got to get it out.
You don't care about running appropriate shorts. Like, that's all. Like, you know, totally. You have to just go, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then I would say that, so then from Freckle, it brought a lot of things. Like, Amy Poehler wrote me into Wine Country. My friends put me in Search Party. Like, did I ever book anything I actually auditioned for? I'm not sure. Well, two commercials. I got two commercials when I was like on my, before Freckle. One was a PlayStation commercial, and one was a Magnum ice cream commercial.
Mm-hmm. We had a PlayStation commercial?
Yeah, and neither aired because the PlayStation one had me wear a black lace thong. Oh. And you think it's a woman from behind. That was, okay, so I get the, you know, have you guys been on commercial auditions? It's a whole racket, but it's kind of funny. And I was going on commercial audition. So I got the commercial agent from having done the American Idol thing. And so I would go on these things as like college kid or whatever. And I would get really close to getting the parts because I'm good. And a producer would take me aside and be like, they really, really like you, but can you tone down the gay?
Oh.
And I remember always being like, no. Like, no. Right. What does that even mean?
You want me to lower my voice? You want me to walk in like John Wayne?
You know, like, what does that mean? Tone down the gay. I don't get it. Mm-hmm. So, but this is real. And I'd be like, the thing that you like about me. And I remember, and again, this is before gay. I'm older. I'm 33. You know, this is before gay marriage was legalized. And I was like, if I'm eating Skittles, I can be a queer person eating Skittles. Like, I'm not going to jeopardize my authenticity and who I am to get a part. It wasn't that important to me, honestly, and certainly not lucratively, because it's so hard for any visibility for minorities or queer people. But I was like, ugh. So my grandma had died. I like got like we sold her a house, and I got like a tiny little coin, right? And so I got the check and I put it in my bank account. And I'm saying this because I do think that in this industry, things are cosmic and spiritual. And I had this audition and I was like, you know, if they say anything about my gender, I'm going to say, fuck you. Because I really wanted to, you know, just tell a casting director, you know what, go fuck yourself. That's the actual rose in me, you know? And so I go, I'm like, I get my hair blown out. I loved getting blowouts. And I had this like snap button cowboy and a long sleeve t-shirt or shirt. And I fucking didn't read on the thing. It said, it was a call for men with long hair and wearing a black tank top. Oh. I was like, God damn it. Cause I go in and these like beautiful model guys with long hair and black tank tops. I'm like, Jesus Christ. I never remember to read the fine print. And this one sweet guy was like, you want to wear mine when I'm done with the audition? And I was like, oh no, that's so sweet. Thank you. I'll get your number. No. So, cause they were like straight guys. And so I go in and because I still had that edge of like, if they say anything, I'm going to say, fuck you. Right. Mm-hmm. So I go in and I'm like, hey guys, cause I had already gone on like hundreds of auditions where I was nervous. So it was finally, I was like, hey guys, like I didn't read the thing about the black tank top. And I wasn't going to say sorry because you don't want to admit guilt.
Yeah,
so I was just like, and they were like, oh, that's fine. Just take your shirt off. And I was like, oh, okay, that's a whole other can of, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And, but I didn't miss a beat. And I had the snap button. So I said, all right, bump, ba-na-na-na, dun-dun. And I snapped the buttons off. And I was doing Groundlings at the time. So I was really into like, oh, yeah. I was really into like playing. And so they were like, we want you to like, have your back to us so it looks like, you know, your long hair. I don't have my long hair anymore. I went Orphan Annie for a role. And then you were supposed to whip around. We realize it's a man and you say, get your game face on. Oh. And I was like, oh, I could do that. And so I had a lot of fun doing it. And then I got the call back and then I got it. And then they were like, do you mind shaving your ass? And I was like, that's okay. And then they put me in this black lace thong and a blonde wig. I was like, 100 pounds less than I am now. I was very skinny at the time. And I did it. And I don't think whoever's idea was it was that classic gimmick of like, it looks like a woman from behind. It's a man, right. You know, and it had any like straight dude done it, like with long hair and you turn it, like the joke would have paid off. But because I am this like evocative Lady Godiva, it, I think it didn't air. It didn't air.
Yeah, you had enough confidence to know what you were doing. Yeah,
that's well, great.
I wish we could see it, but there's plenty of freckle to find online and elsewhere.
Oh, it's on my Instagram. You can find it. Somebody secretly like sent me the. I don't even remember.
Oh, that's great.
I've lost a lot of money. Anyway, but
well, where can we find? Where can we find? Thank you for being here. We loved having you. And where can people find you online?
Oh, is this it? Are we all good?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, we're still recording.
We want to know. Yeah, we want to know where people can find you if they're listening.
Oh well, my main Instagram is Freckle. You know, the @ Freckle. I'm currently writing right now my next show. I plan to do a lot of live theater. I think theater, live performance, stand up. I'm bringing vaudeville back. Nice. And I'm releasing my EP, so you'll be able to get that on all streaming platforms, iTunes, Spotify. And the track is Don't Hold Back.
We'll
the
be second on Tidal, track is, though. I only listen to Tidal. So.
Oh, it will be on Tidal.
Okay, good. Okay.
I called Thank Beyonce. Thank you, Fred. So,
good. Good.
Thank you, Freckle.
Of course.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
And another thing. So we recently got a DM from a listener who listens to us while studying.
Were there nudes?
There were no nudes, which I'm surprised we don't get more nudes. I think we should. I encourage listeners to send us nudes. I mean, be
appropriate.
Be tasteful.
Yeah, like don't get gross or anything, but like, you know what I mean? Just like a little slip or something. I think it's fun. And any gender too.
Show us a
I'm
little
here for
ball.
All of them. I'm here for all of them. Ball, nip,
show
whatever,
us a little
badge.
Ball.
Like I'm here. Okay, anyway. We have a listener who listens to us in med school while he's studying, and he sort of tipped me off on sort of something that I'm actually going through right now. So he was talking about this doctor, Dr. Roy Zucker at Mount Sinai in New York, who specializes in LGBTQ plus medicine, which is like, he's the first to like specialize in LGBTQ plus medicine. And for me, I constantly want, I primarily want either queer or female doctors, ideally like lesbians. I want queer women doctors for everything. Dentist, like primary, like all of it. Like I want only gay doctors, like queer doctors. And it's really hard to find them. I recently went to a dentist and it was like this weird, because I mean, I walk into the dentist and I have my, like my purse basically with me, and I look the way that I do. And it's, you can feel sometimes the judgment, like you're just this character that they're not used to seeing coming in for medical treatment, and it's uncomfortable. And it kind of got me thinking about how, like, I know I'm definitely not alone in people who feel uncomfortable with medical care. Like trans people regularly are facing sort of hurdles with getting proper medical care. We were talking about earlier, Brent, you were talking about earlier with women, and women sometimes like getting different sorts of treatment, especially even like lesbians who they go to male doctors, straight male doctors, and there you have misogyny mixed in with homophobia there. And like so many, and also a lot of queer people are underinsured because queer people often are lower in the socioeconomic bracket. They don't have the insurance to get preventative medical care. And so like, there's a lot of hurdles with it. What do you guys want like queer doctors? Like what's that experience been for you guys?
So I actually had a friend that he and I were lamenting this recently. We had the same dream where, like, from the age of like 18, I'd always wanted to become friends with my general practitioner, regardless of whether they were gay or straight. And I'm always just like on different.
Why?
Because I don't know, like you could, I think it's like, feels like kind of cool to be friends with a doctor. I don't know. It's kind of ridiculous, but like, I'd always wanted to be friends with a doctor, but I also, I don't think I've ever had a gay doctor in all the doc. I feel like I go to different doctors like every like 18 months. Cause I'm always on like a new insurance and like, I have to, you know, start everything over again. And, but I guess, I don't know, maybe, being someone who is a little bit more straight acting, how dare you? It just doesn't faze me as much. And I'm never I'm not afraid to like, you know, sometimes I'll mention being gay, and that, you know, obviously plays into, you know, it plays a significant role in your health. And I don't think I guess in all my years, I never feel like I've had like a negative or different response from a doctor. So it's not super meaningful to me, but I get why it would be for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I only want to see like a queer doctor, at least as a general practitioner. I had a doctor once who was like he was such a fucking dope, just like a true like galoot, you know, like a real oafy dope. And like when I would mention gay stuff, he just was like, I just noticed that it would like, that it was like, oh, that's a consider, you know, like he would you know, realize that or whatever. And he wasn't homophobic or anything like that, but he was just dumb. But you know, after that, I was like, no, I need a queer doctor, I need a queer therapist, I need somebody who understands it. And especially from a gay perspective, I think gay health for gay men and gay women and trans people and everybody in between, I just think you're more likely to find respect, understanding, and warmth from somebody who is in the community. And I also say that from somebody who has watched like my sister and mother undergo like true misogynistic healthcare from male professionals who have misdiagnosed them, completely ignored what they're actually going through, and caused real problems. So I just prefer a queer person.
That's not to say that queer doctors can't be assholes, because course, I have experienced firsthand the bad side of queer doctors. And this isn't because he was queer necessarily. I think it kind of was, actually, where when I was first, before I got diagnosed with cancer and everything, I went to this doctor here in Los Angeles because he was the gay doctor, right? He was like the gay doctor that
Elliot's doctor, right?
I wasn't going to say that.
But I don't go to see him now. I see his partner.
Yeah. So, but I was going to try to keep that mom, I went to this doctor because every gay guy I knew went to this doctor, and he was fine. I got an appointment really quick and everything. And the pain that I had, he assumed it was an STD. He just assumed because I was a gay guy that I had had some sexual experience, which I had not really had a sexual experience you know what I mean? It was unlikely that it was an STD. Very, very unlikely. But he was insistent that it was. And I, of course, then was going down this rabbit hole of like, am I like the, you know, Virgin Mary of like HIV or something? Like, do I have like, what is like, do I have something and don't know it? Has it manifested itself in me or something? And it turned out he was really, really wrong. And it was actually what I had thought it was the entire time. And he was just so convinced I was this sex crazed homo that he went in this direction, just assumed that I was like this. And
Funnily enough, his partner is like a lesbian, pretty like staunch lesbian. I fucking love her.
Yeah. Oh, you know what I realized after I said what I said about never, I realized I have a urologist that I go to occasionally who's a gay man and he's great and I like him, but he's like only a couple years older than me.
Yeah.
And I'll see him on dating apps and it totally weirds me out.
That's interesting. So,
would you be weirded out if like your doctor like liked you on Hinge?
You've seen your therapist on my dating app, right?
Of course. Elliot? I wouldn't. I saw my therapist once years ago, and but it was perfectly normal, and like there was nothing weird or off-putting about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't want to see that at all. And but I was also pretty
go ahead.
Oh, Brent, you specifically, when it comes to mental health, you don't want to see a queer therapist?
I don't.
Really?
I always
why?
Don't. Yeah. I had one queer therapist a couple of years ago, and I thought he was perfectly fine and professional. I've always had this deep-seated discomfort with... Because because my dad was in the sciences, I have this, like, undying respect for, like, people who are in the sciences, so to speak, whether that's... you know, physics or you know, mental health. And I also have no faith in gay people to not be sexual. So I'm always afraid those two clash when I have a gay therapist. Yeah. And I'm always afraid they'll either say something inappropriate or I know this is wildly inappropriate and like would be, you know, bars for dismissal, but I'm always afraid they're going to like hit on me. And I'm not saying that in like an arrogant way. I've just had this weird fear my whole life that like I'll have like a sleazy therapist who you know, and I had a therapist once who asked me my my background, like my ethnic background, which is a perfectly fine normal question, like there's nothing wrong with that. He also was kind of Freudian, so he was like doing the whole like he was trying to chart my family. I was like, fuck off. But like I've always used, I like asking people that. And I always ask them that usually when I'm attracted to them. So for me, it was like, oh, like, that's like my, that's like what I ask someone like at a bar or something. Yeah. Oh, what's your background? And so I was so uncomfortable by that. And
interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a big deal.
I had a doctor in New York who he gave me a prostate exam, which, you know, I was more than ready for, not to brag.
Right.
And
more than ready for.
And then, like, I went to another doctor here in Los Angeles, and I told the doctor, oh, yeah, like, you know, maybe 2 years ago, I was giving them my report of, like, what I had done previously. And the doctor was like, you're way too young for that. Like, why?
Yeah, that's like 40 and above.
And I didn't know, because I don't know. You know what I mean? And it was.
Were you pierced then?
I mean, I didn't mind.
Your taint piercing?
To me, even though I know it was very wrong and unethical, most likely, and for him to do that, I was also kind of like, well, I hope I had a good show that day. Like, I hope I gave him something. You know what I mean? Because I didn't mind it. Like, it was.
I definitely could not imagine going to it, not going to a queer therapist. I just think it's too.
Yeah.
It's too intertwined. I went to one straight therapist once for a couple weeks after a really rough breakup. And he was the one who, as you might remember, suggested that I join the Body Electric.
Yes.
Which it turns out is it's a body positive, like, sex workshop for older men.
No, it's not for you.
So obsessed.
Not for me. He also was like, he also truly was like, you can make payment out to my email address on PayPal or whatever, or something like this, where his email address was literally like laxbro88 like an AOL.com. I was like, bye bye.
I have, my therapist is a Black lesbian, and it is, I've had her for 8 years now. And it's
wait, you have a therapist?
Yes, of course. I have a therapist and a psychiatrist.
Oh my god, I had no idea you had a therapist.
Well, you need talk therapy, and then you need the drugs, baby.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I see her only once a month now because that's really all I need. But
yeah,
it's but you know, she's been sort of my rock.
You know, to be honest with you, I couldn't tell you the race of any of my therapists because I don't see race like you do, Alan.
Well, I didn't choose her because she was black. I just chose her because she was good.
Some of us see past that.
Just saying.
What would your aunt say?
Brad, what would your Aunt Ramona say about something she heard on today's show?
Your Uncle Hamilton has actually been to the Garden City, Long Island Body Electric meetup.
Oh my God, the Body Electric. My Aunt Joanne would say, you know, I don't think there's anything unscrupulous about you seeing your uncle as a therapist. He is a practicing doctor, you know. How about Aunt Anne?
My Aunt Anne would say, the only requirement I ever had for a doctor was that he was attractive. It's always my break from Uncle Ray, you know, he can diddle me.
Yeah.
Give me a prostate exam, why don't you?
Literally, I think she probably gets off on that. I've never seen her doctor.
Guys, but that's crass. It's something my Aunt Anne would do.
It is very something my Aunt Anne would do. Oh, she was always trying to have an affair. Always.
Oh my God. Well, thanks for listening. I'm Elliot. I'm Elliot, the Body Electric Glazer.
That's right. And
he's sitting
there
naked right now.
I am Brent Sullivan.
And oh, I am H. Diddle Me Scott.
H. Scott.
I know. We're not all good at improv, Elliot. Way to point it out.
Don't yes and him. Yeah, no yeah. him.
Oh, okay, she's good. Oh, this bitch moist. She moist.